Thank y'all for coming today. How many of you invited someone to church this week? Amen. Yeah, I pray that you did. And I know it's hard to get people to come to church, but we must not give up. Must not give up. The next individual that crosses your path and you invite them to church may be the one that comes. And so must not give up. Tonight, if you can come back, sure appreciate it. I'm going to be preaching on five crowns that can be obtained from the Lord Jesus Christ. Five crowns that is mentioned in your Bible. All right? I think you'll find that most interesting. And if you will, let me encourage you to come to Sunday school next week. I started in the book of Genesis there, Genesis chapter 1. 2 weeks ago, this is the third week of it. And I'm at the part right now teaching about, do you know where the devil came from? How long he has existed, when his name changed, when God changed it from Lucifer to Satan, when he fell, when he rebelled against God Almighty, and all that, when that happened, and so forth, and teaching about what the Bible says in all those things. So if you will, come to Sunday school on that. Now, if you will, turn to your Bibles to Psalms chapter 9 in one hand. I'll read from there first, and John chapter 3, and verse 16. John chapter 3, Psalms 9, John chapter 3. In 1990, while you're turning there and finding your places, a Gallup survey, and that's been 21 years ago, I couldn't find one more current. A Gallup survey of Americans was taken. 78% of the American people had an excellent or a good chance of going to heaven, they said. That's what they said, 78%. 4% thought they had at the same chance of going to hell, an absolute chance of going to hell. I think that has changed today drastically. I think it has changed drastically. The conditions of America's churches and American so forth and everything. One pastor admits, he says, my congregation, and this is quote now, he said, my congregation would be stunned to hear a sermon on hell. That's sad, isn't it? That's the day and time we're living in. He goes on to say, his congregation is upper middle class people, well-educated, critical thinkers who view God as compassionate and loving, and not someone who's going to push them into eternal damnation. We're going to see today that God doesn't push anyone into eternal damnation. This is tragic right here, what this pastor is saying, because in keeping with God's word, truth about hell, keeping the truth of hell from his people, that's in his care, he's lullabying them to hell. That's what he's doing if he refuses to preach a message on hell. Another pastor said, what is surprising is that Christians are equally uneasy with God's wrath. They don't want to hear of God's wrath. It is hardly mentioned in our churches anymore. It's not in our literature anymore. And that fact ought to concern us. Moreover, he said, in view of the unity of the biblical doctrine, he fears that our faith may erode in doctrines as well. He says, we have given up wrath. He says, can sin, judgment, or preaching of the blood of Jesus Christ, or the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ, be far behind that? Without the one, the other loses their meaning. Wrath measures sin. It produces judgment and necessitates the need for the cross. That's what wrath does. Our problem is that we have foolishly taken to ourselves the prerogative of making judgments about the afterlife. We've cast ourselves into the role of God himself and decided to outlaw hell. That's what the majority of American people and the majority of the American churches have done today. Well, I like to preach a message this morning, and I have titled it, Too Late. Too Late. Where will you spend eternity? Where will your family members spend eternity? Where will your friends spend eternity? Where will all the lost spend eternity? Well, the Bible has our answers. And you know, if we stand behind the cross, it's always been said, and we look out, then we see who's going to hell. We see a lost world when we stand behind the cross. There's a real place in the Bible that calls hell, that the Bible calls hell. Is it real? You'll find out today in the Bible. Is it a literal burning hell? We'll find out in the Bible. Psalms chapter 19, if you will, verse 17. Psalms chapter 9, and I'm looking at it, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And it didn't say one nation there, but it said all nations. And America's included in that. In John chapter 3, verse 16, showing how powerful God's love is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear God, I want to thank You for all that You do. Father, I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your mercy. Oh God, I thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed there on the cross of Calvary. How He paid my sin debt in full. And by trusting in Him and believing in Him and calling upon Him, Father, You have given me eternal life. Father, I'm so thankful for that. Now, Father, if there is anyone here lost today, may this be the day, dear God, that You would shake them. You would stir their hearts. Father, that You would convict their hearts and help them to realize that You love them and You're not willing that any should perish, but all come to salvation. Lord, may this be the day that they would call upon You to be saved. Father, help us to all draw closer to You and help us all be more serious about witnessing for You to a lost and dying world. Father, we give You all the glory, honor, and the praise. Save that one that's closest to hell today, I pray, oh God. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Bible, two words there mentioned. One in Psalms 9, verse 17, one mentioned in John 3:16, wicked and perish. Said the wicked shall be turned into hell. The perish, there to be, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Perish to where? To hell. The wicked and those that perish are those who die without Christ. There's only two types of people in the world. Saved people and lost people. That's the only two types of people there is. The Lord Jesus Christ made it possible for people not to go to a place called hell. That's the reason why He came to this earth to die for you and I. But if mankind rejects, if anyone rejects Jesus Christ and His finished atonement upon the cross of Calvary, then they have put off so great a salvation, then they are held responsible for the judgment they receive. God sends nobody to hell. Every time a person rejects Jesus Christ and says no to Him, they say that they send themselves to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross, paid our sin debt in full. What more could He do? That's the finished work of Christ. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that He might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus paid it all, the old song says. To Him I owe All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Amen. God is not accountable for anyone that goes to hell. That individual that rejects his son, that's the one. Whether they're young or old, they will be held accountable for rejecting Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hell is not a figment of the imagination, let me say that. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. My friend, it's not a fairyland, fairy tale story. When people reject Christ, they swing wide the gates of hell and they bar the door to heaven. What kind of place is hell, number one here? That's a place of suffering, a place of suffering. Turn with me in Mark chapter 9, if you will. Mark chapter 9. It's a place of suffering, hell is. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Look with me there what the Bible says. "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." My friend, let me tell you something. Hell is a place of suffering. I mean, can you imagine taking a saw without any anesthesia or anything and cutting your arm off, or cutting your foot off, my friend, or taking your finger and just plucking your eyeball right out of the socket? Can you imagine the pain that you would be going through if you did such as that? This is what Jesus is talking about. He's telling you the pain in hell, the suffering in hell, is much greater than even that. There is no comparison upon planet Earth on how painful and suffering hell is. Jesus could only equate it to your own body, the pain that you would go through if you did such a thing as that. Secondly, hell is a place of torment. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Verse 19. "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments," my friend. That's plural. There's more than one kind of suffering. More than one kind of torment, you see. There's multiple ones. And it goes down the list there of thirst and so forth. And without God, and I'll get to that in a moment. Hell is a place that you can't even imagine about how awful a place it is. And let me say this, hell is never ending. They are tormented there day and night. Day and night. On their deathbeds, men cry out, "Pull me from this fire. Pull me from this fire. My feet are burning. My hands are burning. My legs are burning. Pull me from this fire." But they are calling on others when they ought to be calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save them from hell. They must call upon him before they die. It's too late after death reaches you. It's too late when you've stopped breathing the last breath and your heart beats the last beat, my friend. Too late after you die. in order to call upon Jesus. Number three, hell is a place of separation. Hell is a pleasant place of separation. Hell is where man is eternally separated from God. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 41. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I told you that this morning in Sunday school, didn't I? Why hell was prepared and who it was prepared for. But man goes there for rejecting Jesus. Verse 42, for I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of one, to the one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Revelation chapter 20, the final judgment, the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20. The Bible says in verse 15, and whosoever, this is your separation from God, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, hell is real. The lake of fire is real. If you're not written in the Lamb's book of life, that is where you'll be cast. What a terrible time it will be for someone who will have to hear from God himself in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. He says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I'll read it again, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The saddest words in your Bible, my friend, to me, is to hear God Almighty say, I never knew you. That will be the most awful punishment of hell, I believe, to a person that's going to hell right then. To hear Jesus Christ and God Almighty say, I never knew you. When they stand there at the great white throne judgment. Matthew 25, verse 41, said, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, I'll read it again, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God does not want anyone to perish. God loves you. John 3:16 proves that over and over and over again. Does not a Christian's life look at the life that you and I that are saved, we're living in just bondage of sin and doing all this horrible sin, and yet God saved us and he pulled us out of that miry clay. Oh my, God loves you. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's either repent or perish. It's either prepare to meet that God or hell awaits. His mercy is extended to everyone. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God's forgiveness is not based on our merits, but it's based upon his mercy and his grace and his love for you and I. Hell is a place where you'll be eternally separated, not only from God, but be eternally separated from those that you love, those that knew Christ as their Savior. There's a song titled, Sorry. Some of you older folks may know it. I don't know. Sorry, I never knew you. I remember hearing that song. before I got saved. Approximately about 3 months before I got saved. And I remember weeping when I heard that song. You know why? Because I was lost. And I knew that song was talking about me. I knew that was a picture of me. That song talks about, is telling you about a saved wife and saved children telling their husband on judgment day, "I'm sorry." And the children saying, "Daddy, we're sorry, we can't go with you," when he's been sentenced to hell. "Sorry, I can't go with you." Because he's heard those awful words from the Lord Jesus Christ, "For I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." Imagine having to tell your wife or your children or your husband goodbye forever. It's tragic enough to tell them goodbye here, but to tell them goodbye for eternity? Oh my. Fourthly, hell is a place of association with the wicked eternally. Yes. You won't be in hell just all by yourself. There's not a compartment like an isolated place just for you. I've preached in prisons where the criminals are so mean and they're so violent, they've had to encase them in these cells that is about 6 foot, 7 foot wide and maybe 10 foot long. And they have nothing, not just a little thing up there that could, a little bit of light can pierce through, and it's a complete steel door with no window in it. And I come up to the door and I speak to them through this little voice box right there. And they can get down on their knees in there and speak to me. And I try to lead them to Christ. But do you know they're wanted for some of the most violent murders that's ever been committed? The most violent rapes, the most violent crimes that you can imagine. That's what they're behind that door for. And they're only allowed out for just an hour in a 24-hour period. And those men tell me, some of them have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 life sentences, my friend. Hell is not a place where you'll be confined like that. But hell will be a place where if those men do not get saved, they will be cast into hell and you'll be there with them. You'll be in association with the wicked eternally. The most vile people that's ever lived will be in hell. People like Hitler, who had millions of Jews killed and other people murdered and slaughtered. People like Stalin, who had over nearly 50 million people murdered in his reign. And he said, by the way, there is no God. And I tell you today that he's burning in hell. He found out that there's a God. And my friend, the person that goes to hell will spend eternity with men like that. There's no party going on in hell. They've all been canceled due to fire, the old saying said. Hell is a place of never-ending, annoying, guilty conscience. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. An annoying, never-ending, guilty conscience. Hell is a place of that. Isaiah chapter 57. Look with me in the last two verses, verse 20 and 21. Bible says, but the wicked. Who's that? That's in Psalms 9. The wicked are turned into hell. The wicked are those that says there's no God. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord my God, to the wicked. God is saying right there, there'll be no peace in hell. You'll never know a moment's peace You'll never know a moment of your mind being at rest in hell. But it's like the troubled sea. No rest. And when it says the waters cast up mire and dirt, you'll remember, just as that book says in the book in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man, he remembered. You'll remember every time you had a chance to get saved. You'll remember how much God tried to love you. You'll remember all the filth and the vileness that you loved more than coming to Christ as Savior. That's the reason why most people won't get saved. Oh, I can't get saved yet. I still got to live it up. I'm enjoying my sin. That's what they say. I've had them tell me that to my face. We'll not enjoy it in hell, but it'll wreck on your conscience day in and day out. When we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He forgives us, takes away our guilt. But in hell, guilt will never end. It'll never cease. And then hell is a place of despair. While here on earth, when everything is falling apart, you still got some kind of hope, don't you? Yeah, you still got some kind of hope that, oh, things will get better. Things has got to get better. They can't get no worse than what they've already gotten. You still have hope. But let me say this, in hell, there is absolutely no hope left. There's no hope of ever getting out of hell. Hope that everything will work out. Hope that everything will get better is gone. In hell, all hope is gone forever. You'll never be able to encourage yourself that you're going to get out of hell. You'll know that you're there forever and forever because God has proclaimed it. You'll know that you rejected His Son for the last time. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." I'm here to say today, after a billion years in hell, the wrath of God is still upon you. Hell is a place of hatred. There's no love in hell whatsoever. None. You're so afraid to get saved because you don't know what your friends are going to think about you. The crowd you're hanging around with, they'll laugh at you, ridicule you. You think they want to be your friends. And you'll reject Jesus Christ because of that. I've got news for you. Those so-called friends will hate you in hell, my friend. They'll not only hate you in hell, but they'll despise you in hell. And you'll be right there with them. Young lady, listen to me. That fellow that tells you, "You don't love me if you don't do what I want," he'll hate you in hell. And young man, let me tell you, that woman that's flirting with you will hate you in hell. That person that's giving you or selling you drugs will hate you in hell. The people that's selling to you or enticing you with their beer, wine, and liquor, they'll hate you in hell. The music industry, the singers and the movie stars and all the sports figures that you worship and idolize will hate you in hell, my friend. What do you say? Would a loving God permit anyone to spend eternity in hell? Looking into your Bible, we know that God has done what He has done in the past. We know that God judges sins and He punishes sin. You don't have to look very far when you turn to the first cover. And just look over there just a little piece and you'll see in Genesis, Sodom and Gomorrah. God said it was wicked. They turned against God. Total depravity. Just all they wanted to do was just go after the flesh and go after the flesh and do what's pleasing to the flesh, what's enticing to the flesh. No room for God. No thinking about where they're going to spend eternity. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. And you know all those people that was there in those cities that died that day by the fire and brimstone are still crying out in hell today. Still in the fire and brimstone of hell. Look at the flood. It's predicted that there's somewhere between 1.5 million and 2 million people upon planet Earth when the flood took place. And 8 souls were saved. Can you imagine them laughing at Noah? It took him 120 years, him and his 3 sons, to build that ark. And those people come by and he's building it on dry land, not even close to a body of water. Can you imagine the ridicule they received from the people passing by? Oh, look at these crazy idiots. Look at them. They're building an ark. They said it's going to come a flood. Oh, come on, Moses, preach some more of that to us. Preach some more of that damnation in hell to us. But the day when God told Noah and his family to get in the ark after he'd done loaded up the animals, what's the Bible says? Who shut the door? God shut it. And when God shuts the door, it's final. There was no hope for the population of Earth at that time then. No amount of crying, no amount of pleading, no amount of begging, no amount of repentance would save them now from the total flood that's coming upon the Earth. And I can just imagine in my mind when God shut that door and it began to rain and the earth was breaking up and great convulsions and so forth and tumult. I can imagine people that was close by come running. They were beating on the side of that ark as the water was rising. Please let us in. Please let us in. I can imagine Noah and his family sitting there trying to drown out the screams. But my friend, those screams are still going on in hell today from those people that perished in that flood. We also see in the Bible that God judges sin in the present and in the future. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Let us not forget the Bible says, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." There is a payday for sin. You either accept Christ's payment for sin and you'll be spared from hell, or you'll pay your own sin debt in hell. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Yes, God is a loving, righteous, and holy God. He has done and is doing all that He can to keep people out of hell. Hebrews 4, verse 14, 16, "Seeing that we have a great high priest," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." He's doing everything He can do. He has done everything He can to keep mankind from going to hell. Now it's left up to the individual. God makes it hard for a person to go to hell. He's given His unchanging word in His unchanging book, in the absolute authoritative word of God of the King James Bible. Let me say this, you have to climb over the Bible to get to hell, my friend. He sent His Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, that speaks and tugs at our hearts of sin and tries to woo us unto Jesus. But many people say, no, no, no. I have them shake their heads. No. When I'm talking to them about Christ, I have scripture magnets on my vehicles, my work trucks. And when I'm going through town and we're on three lanes there, I'll get in the middle lane a lot of times. That way so people can read the scripture on this side of the truck and people read the scripture on that side of the truck as they're passing by. And believe it or not, I have people to come by and they'll shake their head when they read them. No. No, and then they'll give me another finger, not this one. And they'll cuss me and everything else. But the Spirit of God tugs at your heart. You say, no, don't bring conviction to my heart. Don't make me feel uncomfortable. I'm not ready for this. When will you be ready? When you get to hell? The Holy Ghost tugs at our heart, and you'll look away from the preacher. You'll look down at the light. You'll look at the light fixtures. You'll look down at your watch or your phone and something to distract you. Or you'll look over to your spouse or to your children. You're resisting. You're pulling back from the Holy Spirit. You say, I don't want to be saved. Don't pull on me. I don't want it. Let me say, you will go to hell if you reject Jesus Christ as Savior. John chapter 5, verse 40, Jesus said, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. So that to yourself, say that to yourself, I will not come to Jesus. Oh, but you say, I would never say that. I ask you, is it worse to do it? Or to say it. If you don't receive Christ by faith, trust in His blood to wash away your sin, then you might as well say it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He goes on, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, folks, Jesus died a horrible death on that cross for you and me. For you and me. We are guilty. We are the ones that spit upon Him. We are the ones that mocked Him. We are the ones that beat Him. We are the ones that placed the crown of thorns on His head. We are the ones that drove the nails in His feet and hands. Oh, you say, oh, no, I wasn't there. Oh, but He looked down through the ages and saw your sins and my sins. Our sins did all that to Him. There's nothing pretty about sin, my friend. He shed His blood for us. But on that third day, the good news, the gospel, on the third day, after being placed in a borrowed tomb, He came out conquering death, hell, and the grave. And He's alive forevermore. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. God has made a way through His Son, Christ Jesus, for us to escape hell so that you can go to heaven. How can you resist so great a love? A man that can resist Christ in the face of the crucifixion, I would say there is no place for him but hell. Dr. George Truett, old great preacher years ago, he said, He tells a story of a little boy that was in his church that had gotten saved. This poor little fellow, one day, he was out with his buddies, neighborhood boys, and one of them boys accidentally shot him. Dr. Truett went to visit him. His dad was not a saved man. His dad was a drunkard that often came home and beat his son unnecessarily, abused his son in a drunken stupor. And Dr. Truett said, as I stood beside the bed and looked down at the little boy who had trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior one day in Sunday school, he said, I felt his brow, and the fever raged, and the little boy's father kept trying to encourage his son. The father would say, oh, buddy boy, dad's old pal, you're going to get better. Keep your chin up, old boy. Daddy's little man is going to pull through this. Dr. Truett said, I knew that he wasn't. I knew it was just a few more minutes before he would die. But the father kept saying, Daddy's little man, he's going to make it. You're a strong little man. And Daddy loves you. And the little boy, with a fevered brow and weak, looked up through his burned and chapped lips, Dr. Truett said. He whispered to his daddy, Papa, I love you, even if you do get drunk. The father turned. He ran out of the room. His heart was crushed. He thought surely he would just die of heartbreak. He ran out into the backyard of the home there, and Dr. Truett followed him out and put his hand on his shoulder, and the father said, I must do something, for my son loves me that much. Dr. Truett says, there's one that loves you more than that, and you've been treating him awful dirty. You've trampled over his love for many years. You've refused his son. And Dr. Truett continued by saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And there in that backyard, that man knelt down, and he said, how can I resist such love? I must be saved. And he called upon the Lord to save him. Let me say this as I close. If you will not come because God loves you, you will not come at all. Just like that song they sung a while ago. My question to you this morning, as we bow our heads and every eye closed, all heads bowed, I ask you this morning, will you come? Will you come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you sitting there right now? God has stirred your heart, be whatever age you may be. But the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, and you realize maybe the first time in your life that you're a sinner and you're lost. And if you died right now, you'd go to hell. But you also realize you don't want to do that. You don't want to go to hell. You say, what must I do, preacher, to be saved? Realize that you're a sinner before God Almighty. Believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died upon the cross for you, shed His blood for you, and was buried. And on the third day, He arose from the grave, and He lives forevermore. If you ask Him to save you, to cleanse you of His precious blood, you'll call upon Him out of a pure heart, out of your heart, right now, as the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll do that for you if you honestly believe in Him and trust Him and call upon Him. I'm going to give you a few moments of quietness here, time to pray.